Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Catherine Fleming. I am the PhD agronomist with Maharan Ag and Chemical Company. We are a agronomic retailer that runs up and down the East Coast from Delaware to Georgia. Today, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about some field trials that we put in this past growing season of Phoenix brand corn in the state of Georgia. So we had three different locations where we did these field trials. There's going to be a low input, a medium input, and a high input plot. And they're going to be in that order for the entirety of this presentation. So the first one was dry land with low inputs in Coolidge, Georgia. This is located in Thomas County down in the southwest corner of the state. We had a second one in Coolidge, Georgia as well. This one is irrigated and had a little bit higher inputs going into it. These plots were about a quarter acre apiece. And in Hawkinsville, Georgia, which is the south central part of the state, this was irrigated with higher inputs. Plots there were about a half acre apiece. So at these three field sites, what did we do? We had five Phoenix varieties that we put out there and one Czech variety. Everything was just large strip plots. We didn't have any replications, but because of the size of the plots that we had, we think that we will be able to have good data for growers in this area. The five Phoenix varieties that we planted were 5552A4, 6542A4, 6706A4, 7914A4, 7402A3. The biggest difference between all of these is the A3 or A4 suffix on the varieties. The A3 indicates that it has a Syngenta AgriSure 3000 GT trait stack, with the A4 being an AgriSure Viptera 3111 trait stack. Really, the biggest difference between these is the A3, the one that we've planted, the 7402A3, does not control broadleaf species in the seed. Everything else has control of corn borer, rootworm, and it's both Roundup Ready and Liberty Link tolerant. Just to give you a little bit more information as to what went into these plots and how they were planted. So we've got the low input, the dry land, and Coolidge, Georgia. We planted those on 36-inch single rows. They were 8 rows wide by 735 feet long on a Tifton soil series. The irrigated plot, so this is a medium input, was also on 36-inch single rows, 8 rows wide by 400 feet long, also on Tifton. And in Hawkinsville, so this is the high input, these were planted on 38-inch twin rows, offset by about 12 inches. Plots were 6 rows wide by about 1,200 feet long and on a Dothan soil series. Tifton and Dothan soil series are very similar in nature. We have sandier soils, they're well drained. The main difference between Dothan and Tifton is one is a loamy sand and one is a sandy loam. So across the board, we've got similar soil conditions. In Georgia, we plant last week of March, first week of April timeframe. Seed populations varied according to whether it was a dry land or an irrigated plot, and harvest all happened within about a week from each other in mid-August. So what went out in these plots? I keep mentioning low, medium, and high. So this is really kind of the kicker for why we're calling them low, medium, and high. So this dry land field, we had about 2 tons of chicken litter that went out before the season started. If we're estimating about 2.5% nitrogen and about 30% availability on the first year, we're getting about 30 pounds of nitrogen for that. We had 22 pounds put out in starting mix and 132 pounds of nitrogen at side dress. So we're only putting out about 184 pounds of N per acre out there. So it is kind of on the lower side. Potassium got put out at a flat rate of 130 pounds, and the phosphorus was applied using the chicken litter, but we didn't have any kind of fungicides or insecticides applied over top of these plots. The medium input plot, we had 145 pounds of N put up on the front end of the season. We did have 3 30-pound applications put out throughout the pivot throughout the growing season. So we've got about 235 pounds of nitrogen that went out there. I don't have the data for the potassium or phosphorus, but we do know that these plots also did not receive any kind of fungicides or insecticides. And this is important to note. I'll get back to that in a second. So the high input plot, we had 150 pounds of N put out pre-plant, 2 90-pound applications of top dress, so we're totaling about 330 pounds of N put out on these plots. Variable rate P and K was done through grid soil sampling, and this plot actually received fungicide application. So we had Quill XL got put out prior to tassel, and then Quill XL again plus Brigade for stink bug control about 3 weeks later. So throughout the growing season, what did we collect and what did we do? We wanted to look at plant populations to get actual plant densities out there. We also collected yield at the end of the growing season, and we ran the test weight for the grain. If you're not quite familiar with how Georgia's growing season is, it's hot and it's wet, and that's perfect growing conditions for disease. We usually always have issues with southern rust and northern corn leaf blight. Northern corn leaf blight wasn't so bad this year. It did pop up, but southern rust just hammered southeast Georgia this year. This is actually a picture from one of the leaves in one of our plots. Basically, if you're not putting fungicides out there, you are going to have rust. So that's definitely an issue that we think played into some of our yield data, and we'll get to that in a second. Also, the amount of rain that we got this year was a little out of the ordinary. Temperature was pretty normal, but we planted that last week of March, first week of April. As soon as April started, the skies just opened up and we had an enormous amount of rain. The numbers in this table are from NOAA. It says we got about 8.6 inches of rain in the month of April. This is for the south central part of the state. Definitely fields out in Georgia that got over 10 inches of rain on top of freshly planted seeds. So we had a lot of issues with replant and growers missing out on seeds that just got flooded out of the soil. Luckily, we didn't have any issues with our plots, but just to know that we did have that excess rain pressure on top of freshly planted seed. On the other side of the spectrum, though, in June and July, we only had about half of the amount of rain that we normally have. And if you look at the bottom there on the bottom left-hand corner, if we look at the data from 1895 to 2014, so a large time period, April was the fifth wettest on record, but our June and July was the 15th and 12th driest on record since 1895. So we had a very wet beginning of the season and a very dry end of the season. So moving into some of the data, what did we find? What do we see? All these tables are going to be set up similarly. We've got the variety, the relative days to maturity, plant population. This was based on sampling 1/1000th of acres out in the field. The grain moisture, the yield that had been back calculated to 15.5% moisture, and the test weight, and this was done using a Dickey John GAC 2100 moisture meter. So the first thing I'd like to point out is our average. We had about 140 bushels of per acre on low input dry land corn. This is great. There's not going to be any grower in South Georgia that's going to complain about 150 bushel corn. Our check for this one was DeKalb 6469. This is kind of the run of the mill, what a lot of people are planting in that area. That's producing about 155 bushels per acre. So overall, our average and our check are about the same. The one thing that did stand up to us was this Phoenix 5552A4 at the top. The yield just wasn't there in this plot. We only got 126 bushels per acre with a low test weight of 52.5. It just didn't show up. We did have some pretty good varieties. 6542A4 pushed 156 bushels. 6706 had 158 with really good test weight. Down at the bottom, we've got the Phoenix 7914A4, although it didn't have fantastic yield at 138 bushels, did have really good test weight of over 56 pounds per bushel. So if we want to go and move and look into this medium input plot, so this is the one that had about 220 pounds of nitrogen applied with irrigation, with fertigation throughout the growing season. We averaged 177 bushels per acre in these plots. Not as high as I was hoping that we would hit, but I really think that had to do with the fact that we didn't have any kind of fungicide application and we had really bad rust problems. So I think that's kind of why we're on the lower end of the spectrum, but still 177 is not bad. Our DeKalb 6469 was our check at 184 bushels. So that's kind of where we're trying to meet with these Phoenix varieties. We did have one break 200 bushels, the 6706. J4, we got 201 bushels with decent test weights of 53.9, but we do see that first variety, that 5552A4 variety, just didn't show up again. So we were kind of disappointed in this variety. It just wasn't there. Although it did have good test weight in this plot, we just didn't see the yield that we were expecting. Finally, in Hawkinsville, so this is our high input, over 300 pounds of nitrogen. The one thing I do want to point out here is because this was twin row planted in plots, we had to come back to the beginning of the field with the tractor to replant that twin row. Unfortunately, when we tried to plant the 65-42A4 and the Pioneer 2023 as our check, about halfway up our plots, we realized that the GPS hadn't actually adjusted the tractor. And so what we ended up doing was planting 32,500 seeds in a single row on 38-inch spacings. This definitely impacted yield just because you aren't utilizing the space properly. We didn't have enough seed to replant 6542. We did have enough seed, though, to replant our check of Pioneer 2023. And if we take a look at the data, the yield just is... The yield is about 40 bushels higher in that twin row planting versus the single row planting and about the same density. So we didn't get to see the actual potential of the 6542 planted in twin row, but we do believe that it could show up there. So these two lines between the two darker bars, those have been excluded from the average. So we did have 235 bushel average on the rest of our varieties that we looked at. Overall, we saw 6706 and 7402 had pretty good yields with really great test weights, but again, we just didn't see the yield and the quality coming through with the 5552A4. So overall, what did we see in the fields? As I said, the 5552, it just didn't show up. We didn't have the yield and the grain quality that we were looking for. 6542A4, we had good yields with pretty average grain quality. The performance dwindled in that one high input trial, so we didn't get to see how well it could do, but we do think it has pretty good merit on dry land and medium input irrigated acres. 6706A4, one of our cooperators said that this was his favorite looking variety. It was very showy. It's a good looking stand of corn. And it was the greatest yields in irrigated and mid input type situations. 7402A3, this is the one that's lacking the Lepidopteran trait stack. Even though it doesn't have that, I think it's a really good strong variety that we can offer as an option to growers. It has our top yields in irrigated land. And finally, 7914, although the yields weren't optimal, we did have good grain quality, and it might be an option for growers in South Georgia. So with that, I can take any questions if anybody has any.
No? Thank you very much. Tell me more about your company.
Sure. We're a retailer, so we sell fertilizers, we sell seed, we sell crop protection sprays. We run from Delaware to Georgia. We have about 30 locations. So what else? Having our own, so we have bought the trait stacks. We've bought these brands of corn through Syngenta. So yes, these are new varieties for us that we're selling. So we're trying to see how they perform over a large area. We're, as a company, we're always in the market and looking for new technologies and new traits. To partner with different companies. I know we just purchased a wheat line from University of Georgia to offer as a proprietary seed for us. So yeah, just trying to see how these different things are actually performing. You know, we have the licenses to be able to sell these, but how do they actually perform other than you know what we have on the state variety testing, when we can be able to plant these in growers' field on a bunch of different types of field conditions, you know, dry land and irrigated and high input, low input, to see how they perform so that we can better recommend a good variety for our growers.
Final questions?
Thank you.